Lord, we are thankful that we have you and the Holy Spirit in our midst. Lord, that you love us and care for us and provide all that we need, comfort and understanding and strength and, Lord, the things that come from you and you alone. And we love you, Lord. We want to know you more and to trust you and to be your people in your presence. We thank you, Lord, and ask you to bless this time, this word, and that it would help us. Lord, your word always helps us. We thank you, Lord, that you protect us from our own foolishness. And we ask you, Lord, to bless this time in your name. Amen. Over the past couple of months, I have been periodically speaking on dwelling in the Lord, abiding in the Lord. And the Lord has provided for us, and by his blood, what we celebrate at the Lord's table is his grace and his mercy and who he is, the power of the risen God. And so I was speaking about dwelling in his presence, and the Lord spoke and said, in my house there are many dwelling places, and he has gone to prepare a place for us. And those dwelling places are places where we dwell together. They're places where we dwell with him. They're places where we dwell individually. They're places where we dwell corporately. And that dwelling is, as I understand it, is being provided for in every way by the Lord Jesus. All our needs are met. And in that dwelling, we have a place of protection. We have a place of, just as the sheep in the sheepfold, that they're protected by the doorkeeper, the Lord. They're protected by the walls and the door, and they go in and out and find pasture. But not only is it a providing things, it's also a knowing that we are in the presence of the Lord and he reveals himself to us. And he helps us to know him, and by when we know him, all that is of this world that troubles us passes away. There are still many things that we go through, and as we're praying for Peggy, as we have witnessed with Stephanie, and Lord, with others, Heidi, and the Lord uses that. The Lord uses all those things, and he calls us to pray not just because we have to give us something to do. He wants us to know. He wants us to open our hearts to him, our mind. Let the Holy Spirit reveal him to us. And I want to remind you, I said all that to say this, that we dwell in him, he dwells with us, we abide in him, we abide in his word, he reveals and opens it to us, he feeds us, he waters us with the water of life. He does all these things, and the marvelous thing that comes from all that is that as we are close to him, he touches us. He enables us to understand. And in that, we have a testimony. We have his testimony. And what is it, what is this testimony? I don't think it's a it's something that we are familiar with in our giving testimony about something we have seen or heard or done. That's what it is. It's what we have seen, what we have heard, what the Lord has done in our presence, what we know, what he causes us to know, is the testimony of Jesus. And the testimony of Jesus is a powerful thing. And it's not separable from Jesus. Don't get me wrong. But it is powerful in that we see and we know, and he does things that prove who he is through us and around us. Some things we see, some things we walk through, some things we are caught up in. But we can speak of who he is and say with assurance to those who are still do not believe that they that Jesus has done this. Jesus has raised the dead. Jesus has healed the sick. Jesus has given us insight into heaven and what is and the life of the Lord that dwells within us. Just to help perhaps show the importance of his testimony, I've brought it up several times in more than a few months ago. But the Lord gave a revelation of himself to John. And in that first chapter, he said, I was on the Isle of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Now, I certainly don't know. I don't know if anybody knows. There may be people who can put things together, commentators and so forth, that understand or at least give a clue to how that testimony caused him to be imprisoned, as it were. He was on a barren island, Patmos, and he was being punished. Did he break the rules of the government? Was somebody stirred up? The enemy stirred up against him? I'm not sure, but he was there because of the testimony. And if he was there because of the testimony, if he was locked up because of the testimony, it was important. It was of great value. It is of great value. The testimony of Jesus goes beyond all that the enemy would try to convince us of. It assures us of who is our God and what his heart is for us. So I just want to talk for a few minutes on several sections of Scripture. These are, to a large extent, these are historical. Just like John being on the Isle of Patmos, that was an event that occurred. That's history. It's not just not a picture. It may picture some things, but he was there. And these past few weeks, I've been looking at some of the Psalms, particularly 95 through 100, and in Psalm 99. I'm going to read a few verses. Thank you. Psalm 99. The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He is enthroned above the cherubim. Let the earth shake. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is exalted above all the peoples. Let them praise thy great and awesome name. Holy is he, and the strength of the king loves justice. Thou hast established equity. Thou hast executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. Holy is he. I'm going to pause there. I'm going to come back to verse 6 in a minute. But the psalmist has seen the Lord. He knows who he is. He knows he is the king. He knows he is great and exalted above all the peoples. He is speaking of who he is. It is a testimony of who God is. Exalt the Lord our God, verse 5, and worship at his footstool. Holy is he. We love the Lord, and we come together with on purpose to worship him and to know him and to encourage one another. And we help one another to know, and we give him glory. Verse 6, Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in the pillar of cloud. They kept his testimonies and the statute that he gave them, his testimonies and the statute that he gave them. Our Lord, our God, thou didst answer them. Thou wast a forgiving God to them, and yet an avenger of their evil deeds. Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy hill, for holy is the Lord our God. The psalmist is telling us of the testimony. He's telling us who God is. He is expressing what he has seen, and is giving his testimony to Jesus, to God the Father, to what the Lord is doing. I can't help myself here. I had not seen until I studied this anywhere, but I've thought this many times. Moses was a priest, and a priest. I'll come back to Moses, I guess. But what's the role of a priest? You ought to know because you are one. The Lord declares it so. And a priest, at least to large extent, a priest is someone who goes and knows God, talks to God, knows about him, and expresses him to those who are seeking him. We are priests. Moses is a priest. You know, he never put on the garments, but he surely was a priest. Aaron put on the garments. I'm not sure I understand that he was a priest, but he was, because it was declared so. He didn't necessarily... he wasn't a shining star, I guess. Leave that alone. So... He gives us hope. There you go. That's true. Very good. So the Lord has given us, he shows us himself. He wants us to know him. He wants us to express who he is. He wants us to take what we know of him and encourage one another, and to not be afraid, but to trust in him in all things. Now, another one of my favorite Old Testament characters, who is historically true, is accurate, is Abraham. And I've said that many times here in your presence. But I want to, in speaking of testimony and helping us to understand the testimony of Jesus, the testimony of God, how he revealed himself. He revealed himself to Abraham. and it says here in Genesis chapter 14, this is the historical event of Abram hearing that Lot and all of Sodom has been taken away. The five kings came and they made war and they took off Lot and all of the people. And Abraham heard of this, verse 14, that chapter 14, when Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he led out his trained men, born in his house, 318, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. And he divided his forces against them by night, and his servants, and he defeated them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods and also brought back his relative Lot with his possessions and also the women and the people. It's not clear to me, and I'm not questioning that this isn't true, but it's not clear, did God speak to Abram? Did he tell him to do this, or did Abram just know? I don't think it matters, because he didn't tell us exactly. But Abram knew the heart of God. He was separated from Lot because he knew the heart of God. He was, so he went on the strength and the faith that he had that God had given him. And he was the man of Jehovah. He was the man of God at the time. He is the seed comes through Abram. And so, somehow, through his relationship with God, through all this time of travel from Ur of the Chaldees to going to Egypt and coming back, all these things that Abram went through and his history is recorded here, he is learning and coming to know and to trust and to know when he can speak to God, know that he can speak to God. In verse 17, it continues, then after his return from the defeat of Chiladomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Sheva, and that is the king's valley. This is important. And Melchizedek, I know you know it's important, but recognize. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, which is Jerusalem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tenth of all. Melchizedek and Abram, if you will, are abiding together with the Lord, bringing together, having fellowship, breaking bread. Melchizedek was functioning as a priest, and he was speaking the words of God to Abram, and Abram embraced him and knew it was true. Verse 21, and the king of Sodom said to Abram, give the people to me, take the goods for yourself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have sworn to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread or a sandal thong or anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich. Abram knew God. He had been encouraged and heard the testimony of Melchizedek and knew that he had been blessed. He knew that it was God Most High that had done this. And there was no doubt in his mind. If there had been any doubt, Melchizedek had dealt with it, had given the opened his eyes wider to who God is. And he would not have any of the things of this world, even though, according to the ways of the world, he deserved it. Just as he would not take anything, but he knew that it wasn't wrong to take anything, because he spoke in verse 24, "I will take nothing except what the young men have eaten and the share of the men who went with me. Let them take their share." Abram knew the heart of God. He heard the words of God. He heard from Melchizedek. He trusted. He rested in that. He knew him. After Abraham had passed on and the people had gone to Egypt and had been brought forth out of Egypt, Moses, the priest, Moses, the leader, brought the people out into the wilderness. And way too much to go to review. I think you all know enough of the story. But this is something I wanted to remind us of, the scripture. In chapter 33 of Exodus and verse 7, "Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, a good distance from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And it came about that everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. And it came about whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would arise and stand, each at the entrance of his tent, and gaze after Moses until he entered the tent. And it came about when Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. When all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would arise and worship, each at the entrance of his tent. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent." Moses and the Lord were dwelling together. God was speaking to Moses. He was speaking to Moses' heart. He knew God. He knew so much of God. He knew so much of what God had done. He knew the testimony of God. He knew he was testimony of God. And he went and he would speak with the Lord, and they would talk as a man speaks to his friend. Isn't that amazing? He wants that for us. He has given that to us. We have it. We can hold on to it. We can reach out when we need it and know that he wants to speak to us as a man does to his friend. He wants to protect us. He wants to care for us. He wants to lead us in the places that we should go, that we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. testimony. John chapter 10. In verse
'Jesus
is being challenged because he is telling them that he is the Christ, and they are furious. They are affronted. But what does Jesus tell them? In verse, I want to get all of it. Verse 36, do you say of him, God, whom the Father has sanctified, he's speaking of himself, whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Therefore, they were seeking again to seize him, and he eluded their grasp. You know, just a quick side comment. He eluded their grasp. He didn't dodge. You know, it wasn't like he was afraid and had to quickly run away. They couldn't touch him. He is the Son of God. He is God's Son. He tells them, and this is, if we are struggling, the testimony of God assures us. And that's what this is. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. He's saying, what I have done is testimony that God is with me and that God wants to speak to you, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. The religious Jews, the religious, the priests, the government, all were completely baffled and completely undone by the works that Jesus did, raising the dead, healing the blind and the deaf, feeding 5,000. As we dwell with the Lord, as we gather together, as you spend time with the Lord, as you know, he speaks to us every day in different ways. Sometimes we hear it, sometimes we don't. But he is telling us who he is. He is always revealing himself. He wants us to know him. He wants us to speak of him. He wants us to believe. He wants us to encourage others to believe that he is, in fact, the Christ. He is, in fact, the Savior of the world. His blood has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful, and he is building our faith and leading us in the place that we should go. That is the testimony of Jesus in us. And people see it. People see it. I remember Pete talking about Heidi and how the whole family could see in her that she loved the Lord and that the Lord loved her. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe, even if you doubt, even if you have questions, believe the works that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I ask that you reveal yourself to us, continue to reveal yourself to us. Open our eyes that we may see you. Open our eyes that we may not fear anything in this world. That the enemy has no place over us, that we can come to you and be comforted, be fed, be protected, go in and out of the sheepfold, being led by the good shepherd yourself, and that we will know your voice when you call us. Help us, Lord. In your name we do pray. Amen.